having me, Charles. Good morning. Thank you for the invitation. Retired preachers who like to preach love the opportunity to go and preach someplace. After, I guess, maybe 54 years of Sunday after Sunday, knowing I had a place to share the word, then all of a sudden you retire and you don't have that anymore. So really appreciate the opportunity of coming. And want to make apologies for Barb, my wife. She was achy yesterday, and she's not feeling very well this morning. So she did not come with me, but sent her best wishes. So I do appreciate the time of being here and sharing with you, and all the support that I get from the staff and whatnot as we're getting this prepared, and to Brother Charles for having me as a guest. Charles, I did want to ask you, the lunch next week, is the clergy staff making that lunch, preparing it, or just providing it?
Just serving.
Okay, all right. Because I was thinking about myself and what my cooking skills are, and I was going to kind of say to the congregation, you know, beware of the clergy when they start cooking, but everything is all right then. Let us pray. Assist us now, O Lord, that what we say with our lips we may believe in our hearts and practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In ordinary business life, in ordinary working life, in our ordinary experience, we look at the calendar according to the months and the days in the months, and we make our plans accordingly. Within Christianity, however, the church, for many centuries, has seen the calendaring, seen the year in the context of the significant things that the church celebrates. And so while traditionally businesses and whatnot, government, begin the year in January, the church begins its year in Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas. And then we have Christmas, and we have Christmastide. We have New Year, which we celebrate, and of course Chinese New Year, which comes in that period of time immediately after, or in the early parts of the beginning of the next year. We have Lent, and we have Easter, and we have Eastertide, and we have Pentecost, and then we don't have anything. The church doesn't identify anything else again until we get into the fall of the year and we start talking in terms of kingdom tide. Now, you know, you get a church committee together and you're going to get something special. So that blank period, as it were, has been identified as theologians now as ordinary time. And I want to share with you this morning that I don't believe that in the life of Christianity there is such a thing as ordinary time. Now, I know the men and women who fixed the calendar up and said, this is ordinary time. I know what they were doing. But I think you and I, in the life of the church, need to think in terms of every day being a special day and every moment being a special moment. There is, I believe, no ordinary time. Not since the coming of Jesus Christ. More than 2,000 years ago, could the world ever say that there was anything ordinary about this world and about the life that we have within this world and the lives that our forebears have had? Nothing ordinary at all. And that comes right down to today. There is nothing ordinary about you being here. It's something which is extraordinary because it's the Sabbath day. And you've come now to share in fellowship with Jesus Christ and to share in fellowship with your fellow members. I want to suggest to you, that's extraordinary. It's extraordinary that you and I take time out of our schedules, which we've done for a long, long time. Some of us from our earliest Sunday school days when we didn't really understand the significance of it. But this is This is a special time. And I hope that you're feeling that speciality this morning. I hope you're feeling that purpose which brings us here. For 2,000 years, it's never been again an ordinary time as far as Christianity is concerned. I think I should say, even in the popular world, we still give credence to the fact that God is in His majesty is in control of the destiny of the world, because we identify the years at least by, 2017 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So we haven't let it all go. I think God would like us as a world if every year was truly the year of our Lord. But still, it's not an ordinary time. We come, we have fellowship with our fellow Christians, with Jesus Christ. When you were baptized, and I'm assuming pretty much everybody here has been baptized, but there may be some folks who've not been baptized. But when you were baptized, whether as an infant, whether as a teenager, or as an adult, that was not an ordinary event. Your parents were dedicating you to God, if they were your sponsors or whoever your sponsors were. Perhaps some of us here have had our baptism when we were adults, when we could understand a little more and make the commitment for ourselves. That was no ordinary event. And for those of you who perhaps are here today worshiping with us, who have not been baptized, I would like to, and I'm going to be very bold here and speak for Charles and the pastoral staff here, and say to you in the name of the ministerial staff here, if you have not been baptized, I invite you to search out the ministers of the church and say to you, I think it's time now. I think it's time. And that moment when you are baptized will no longer be an ordinary moment in your life. It will be a moment of great remembrance. It'll no longer be ordinary to you, and you and I, when we're baptized, are no longer ordinary people. We are children of God, living in Christ. When you find yourself in a new life experience, you feel that Christ is speaking to you and you respond to that invitation, that's no ordinary time. If this were my sermon that I was preaching in senior sermon in seminary, I'd get the word, you use the words no ordinary time too many times. We can't use them too many times. That's just a defense of me using them too many times. When you're caught up, when you and I are caught up in something as dynamic as the life of Jesus Christ, that life given for us in life and in death and in resurrection, there's nothing ordinary about it. It's a special time, and you and I are special people. Many years ago, when Mikhail Gorbachev was the Prime Minister of the Soviet Union, Gorbachev, some have said that perhaps he was a secret Christian. That in itself, I can understand that sometimes, but that in itself is kind of inconclusive. But some have said he was indeed a Christian, but kept it quiet. At any rate, Gorbachev, when he came into power, decided that he could be a freer prime minister. He could create more freedom in the Soviet Union. And so he decided that after three generations of Soviet rule, that the Christian faith had certainly died out by that time. And he said that the churches would be open and services could be held and people could be baptized and confirmed and buried within the life of the church, really expecting nothing much to happen. He was stunned, he was surprised by what did happen. The churches began to be filled again. Churches that had not seen congregations, hadn't seen anybody but the ministers of the churches on the Sabbath day or on holy days, found that there were people there again. And they were not just of the folks like me with the white hair, they were the younger people. And Gorbachev discovered something. I think one of his ministers helped him discover this. One of his political ministers helped him to discover this. That for all of those years in which the open practice of Christianity was not allowed in the Soviet Union, for all of those years, each generation as it came was nourished by its babushkas, by its grandmothers, by the grandmothers who had been and continued to be Christians. And they sang the Christian songs to the children, to the babies. And they told them the Christian stories. And now what Gorbachev was looking at were churches filling again, not just with the old people, but with the young people. This was not an ordinary experience. This was not an ordinary circumstance. This whole process of generations of people who had heard the word originally and continued to share it, sharing the word. No ordinary times. This is no ordinary times for Christians now. We are oppressed. We are concerned about our society, about our world. We are aware of all of the dangers that we have. These are no ordinary times. But then again, brothers and sisters, you and I are not confronting these times with an ordinary message. We are confronting these times with the message that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that God sent him to this earth, that he accepted his responsibility, that he was baptized by John the Baptist, that he preached his word for 3 years, that he was tried and crucified and dead and buried. Not an ordinary message, not an ordinary time. Now, I want to say to you that I don't know some of you by name. Some of you I do know by name. Some of you I just recognize by face. But whether I know you or not, I want to say this to you, that no longer are we not in ordinary times, but this much I can say in looking at each and every person here, whether I know you by name or not, whether I've known you for 20 years or just met you, there is not one single ordinary person in this room. There is not one single ordinary person in this service. You and I are extraordinary people. We are special people. I don't know whether I mentioned baptism a little bit ago. I don't know whether you've been baptized or not, but it doesn't matter. From one standpoint, it doesn't take away from your extraordinariness. If you have been baptized, that adds to your extraordinariness. I don't know whether you come to church regularly or you just came this morning as a visitor or with a friend. I don't know whether you come every Sunday or not for all of the church's services and whatnot, but I do know this, that you're not an ordinary person, whether you're here in this house or whether you're outside of this house of faith. You are special. You are, Eric, when we did the first song, a child of God. I think the Holy Spirit worked with that a little bit. The Holy Spirit knew you were going to do that song and knew I was going to do this part of the sermon. You're a child of God. Whether you participate extremely actively in the life of the church, whether you have a strong prayer life or no prayer life at all, you're still an extraordinary person. Each and every one of you here now, there are no ordinary people. Each and every one of us here is a special person, a child of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether we have any geneticists in the congregation or not. So anybody's specialty is genetics? Okay, I'm safe. Because I was going to get out of my field and into a geneticist's field. It is my understanding that no two people have the same genetic makeup, which, if it's true, if it's true, send me a note and tell me I should stay in my own field. Or if it's not true, tell me that. If it's true, say amen or something like that. But it is my understanding that you and I can be identical twins and still not be the same person completely. All the gene structure with all the likes and all of the dislikes and all of the skills and all of the lack of skills in areas that no one of us is exactly alike any other. And that, I find, that speciality says to me that each and every one of us stands singly before God. And I give thanks for that. I give thanks for our uniqueness, for our extraordinariness. I give thanks for the witness that we make as we come, as we are here, as we go forth to serve. No ordinary times, folks. No ordinary people. When my wife taught Sunday school, she used to teach the children. It was a song when she and I were coming along, I don't think we knew the song, but it was one which came out of frankly out of the 60s, resurrected or written new. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. And that song was sung for you and me. Beyond the years, as far as being declared children, we are nonetheless God's children. We are extraordinary. I hope you'll claim that thought today. And claiming that thought, I hope that you will carry with you the text for today's sermon. Finally got around to that. Is that text, that portion that we read out of the Psalms this morning? My times are in your hands, O Lord. My times are in your hands. Always have been, now are, and always will be. These are not ordinary times. And there's not an ordinary person in this room. Thanks be to God for that lack of ordinariness, that speciality. Every once in a while, I've met some people, maybe you've met some people like this too. I've met some people who say to me, well, I don't believe in God. Now, usually because I figure I have some good points to make, I'll start to argue that point. But more and more, if I have someone who says to me, I don't believe in God, I prefer saying to them, just simply, well, God believes in you. And God believes in each and every one of us here. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.